Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Go-To Food Podcast, yet to be award-winning, but it will be shortly. Talking about award-winning, we are joined by one of the greatest chefs, greatest restaurateurs in the country, Mr. Ruben Dorney. Ruben, you've just won the one to watch at the Condé Nast Food and Travel Awards. I mean, were you being papped outside the studio today? I'm guessing you've got a lot of adoring fans who are just loving you.
Got stopped in Sainsbury's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's actually true.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Yeah, I was buying some peanut butter, someone came up to me, was like, we're in the presence of a celebrity.
We are.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
Mate, congratulations. You're only 23 years old. Yeah. Tell us about the awards. Condé Nast. Did you even know about the Condé Nast Awards before?
No, I didn't really know who Condé Nast were. Right. So, but yeah, it was amazing. I'm feeling absolutely chuffed and
they've
buzzing.
Said you're the one to watch.
Apparently
voted
so.
Voted for by other people in the industry?
Yeah, it was a unanimous industry decision with a lot of big names, which is amazing.
Sweet.
Yeah, really great. Like, an honour.
Who did you meet on the night? Any cool people?
I didn't get to meet him, but Raymond
still there. Raymond Blanc was there.
I met Professor Green. He was probably I was most excited to meet him. Yeah. I brought my mum along and she was even more excited to meet him.
Really?
You're proper foodie, Professor Green.
Yeah, massively foodie. Really lovely guy.
Too into ice baths. I had to mute him on Instagram. I was like, it's too much. I like your foodiness, but the ice baths.
I want to get into ice baths.
Yeah, well, do. I've never muted you.
It's a thing to do right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm guessing you can't find the time to do anything right now because obviously you're running Rubens in Brixton Market. It's amazing. I've been there twice. We'll be going back there. My family again, I think, tomorrow. It was meant to be for initial couple of months residency and now you're still there. What's going on? I mean, obviously, it's been amazing.
So we're meant to be like 3 months and then extended by a month and then another month. Now we're on to like month six and hoping to stay like maybe permanently. It was always the dream to have the spot in Brixton Market.
Well, can you tell us, for those listening who don't know about Rubens, what kind of food can we expect? Just sort of flirt with us through the menu.
So one of our best-selling dishes are pork belly burnt ends. Burnt ends are essentially little nuggets of sweet, sticky, smoky, salty barbecue. We use pork belly. Traditionally, it's kind of brisket, but we already have a lot of beef on the menu. So we thought pork belly, beautiful cut. We smoke them in big strips, then we cube it up, braise it, kind of caramelize it, get it all burnt, and toss it in mustard barbecue sauce, drizzle with hot honey, and we turn the skin. So we get the pork bellies in whole. We turn the skin, which is like a 3-day process, into like beautiful puffed up crackling, not like scratchings that kind of like break your teeth, like a kind of quaver, like a pork quaver.
Amazing. Like Mexico, like chicharron, puffy. Yeah, I know.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. How do you know how to do that?
I've basically only worked in one like kitchen for a long amount of time. I've done little stints here and there, but I worked at Naughty Piglets.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of where I learned how to cook. And we did it there and we served it with a smoked cod's roe dip. So you kind of had that kind of a weird combo, but you had like pork scratching, smoked cod's roe. And it just works really well.
Filth.
So that's where I learned the process.
You won a residency in Brixton Market back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And had you done any cooking then?
No. I was completely, I blagged it completely. So I pitched this idea of Rubens.
Yeah.
Saying we're going to make the best salt beef in town. South London doesn't have anything like this, blah, blah, blah. And then, and I'd never made a Rubens sandwich before. I think I'd eaten two. I'm into food. I've always been into food. I was always like, when I was little, the guy who like me and my cousin would eat the most. Like it'd be like we're like the foodies. So yeah, I just blagged it. And then when they said that I had to come in and cook one, I was like, shit. But you can go far, I think, by just kind of blagging and believing. Like
and
I
a
believed.
Good idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I believed in the idea. I think that was the important bit.
Yeah.
It was a weird time, so we did had the competition. I didn't actually win the competition.
Right.
I came second to Ajoke from Chishuru, who just won the Michelin star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who we're opposite now.
Yeah.
Right.
Beef in the market.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, I was like 17. They were like, hell no, you're not going to go and run a restaurant. And I still think when we're doing it now, like I'm just about able to, it's full on. And I'm like, feel like I'm just, we're swimming, we're keeping afloat.
But 23, you got your own restaurant. I mean, it's completely insane.
Yeah.
My favourite dish last week was your chicken soup sausage. Just talk us through that. I mean, a throwback to thousands of years of Ashkenazi food.
Yeah.
But talk us through it, come on.
Yeah, well, it's mad that you say that because I looked through a lot of cookbooks for like inspiration. I love reading about chef stories and stuff like that. And I was reading through Claudia Roden's Book of Jewish Food. and she talks about chicken soup. And I thought, you know, I can't, it doesn't really fit on me just doing a bowl of chicken soup, but how can I make this mine? And we make our own sausages. We usually do a magaise, but I thought, let's try a chicken soup sausage. So we get whole chickens, turn the meat into the sausage. So we mince the meat, the bones we roast and make a kind of traditional kind of soup. So like a chicken soup. But instead of eating the bits and whatever, we strain off all the liquid, chill it down, combine that with the meat, throw some chicken livers in there, which I don't usually shout about because people get a bit weird, but no, you need that little oomph. It's very subtle. And then stuff the sausages, smoke them, and you've got a chicken soup sausage.
It was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
But also that little sort of accoutrements you served it with.
Yeah, I think if you're serving like a sausage, you want those little dips. Like the best thing about, you know, when at home, the bag is a mash. I love the mustard on the side. Yeah. You know, that being able to, a bit of ketchup, bit of HP. Yeah. So we always serve sausages with like a selection of a few things, like a sauce, a pickle, maybe something crunchy.
Pickled fennel, chicken fat mayo, chicken skin.
Oh. This one was schmaltzy mayo, lots of mustard in there. And then we did pickled fennel, chicken and fennel, yum. And then crispy chicken skin. So it did use pretty much the whole chicken.
It's unbelievable. I thought it was a typo when you put that on your...
Oh, no. It was absolutely
great. You're the second person today who talked about the chicken sausage.
Mate, it's amazing.
Get it back.
Yeah, get it back.
Get it back on. It's amazing. You're sort of half American smokehouse, half Jewish deli. Mm. Talking about Jewish delis, I mean, we're in South London right now, Vauxhall, the place is in Brixton, you're from Brixton originally. There aren't many Jewish places which do decent food in South London, let alone London anymore, since the Israeli invasion, well, it's probably not the right way to say it, the Israeli invasion, but since the Israeli invasion of food for, you know, Ottolenghi sort of 15 years ago, everyone turned to Israeli food and we lost these sort of traditional Ashkenazi places. Mm. But where are your favourite delis to eat in? When you're growing up, did you get any Jewish fare?
For me it was Monty's Deli, doing a very traditional kind of Jewish deli food. Gutted they're gone. That was my first Reuben sandwich experience. Yeah,
that was a good Reuben.
Fantastic. Yeah. And they took it seriously, man. They took it real seriously. So, yeah, gutted that they're gone.
Ever been to Panzer's?
No, but weirdly, they hit me up the other day. And, yeah, so I'm
really
going to go. Yeah, my uncle, because they're not local, really.
No, they're not. So, St. John's Wood,
yeah, so my uncle is a regular there. And
when they hit you up, what's that mean?
So just kind of like got in touch on
saying, come down and try our bagels.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would say they're the best bagels I've ever had in my life. I know you make bagels. I haven't actually tried your bagels yet. So you make them in Robin Gill's Bakery, right?
Yeah, they're lovely. They're like rye bagels. So super dark, very like nice. You wouldn't be able to, like they're not traditional at all.
Mm. Right.
But they're amazing. Yeah. Maybe I'm biased, but they're really good.
Well, I would say Panzer's is maybe second to you then. I've never tasted yours, but the smoked salmon there, the bagels, oh, it's just like heaven.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing place. I can imagine this award, you know, has obviously got you even further. I mean, everyone in the foodie world, I should say, knows who you are. Mm. Have you got a lot of approaches, investors, people trying to sort of take you now to bigger and better things, even though you're doing incredibly well, but you know.
Yeah. In terms of investors, nothing yet. I feel like I'd be a bit worried to give away a bit of my baby, which is the business just yet. But maybe in like 10 years, there'll be a Rubens on every corner.
But what's next on the cards?
We want to stick around in Brixton because that's the hometown.
Yeah.
And then Peckham. I think we're going to be in Peckham Arches over the summer. Oof. Doing some serious barbecue.
Nice.
Not Rubens, but like, barbecue trays and the Euros. Oh, so
what a combo.
It's going
to
be good.
What's the best barbecue? I'm going to ask this to both of you. What's your favourite barbecue item? What's the best thing you've ever made on barbecue?
I did a Thai pop-up the other week, and we did a Massaman smoked beef cheek. So we smoked a beef, we marinated a beef cheek in, or loads of beef cheeks in ketchup manis.
Yeah.
Ketchup manis.
Yeah.
It's like a sweet soy sauce. We marinated them and then smoked them for like 10 hours, braised them in more of that soy mixture, and then slice it, like all that collagen just melting out, sticky, and then covered it in like a Massaman sauce, which being cooked for like 4 hours with like loads of like peanut and coconut milk and spicy, and covered it in more peanuts. It was a weird fusion of,
unbelievable.
I mean, fusion is probably not, everyone hates that word.
I like it.
it was serious fusion and it was fucking delicious. Like that smokiness with the massaman, which is usually just bits of stewing when I've had it out.
So me doing a spatchcock chicken on the barbecue is just fucking worthless. It's not good enough. What about you, Ben?
Well, because you're talking about like barbecue, like smokers.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anything.
I've never done anything on that.
But surely in the summer, you whack up the barbecue?
Get out of barbecue. I do a lot of chicken wings.
A lot of chicken wings, okay.
I'm obsessed with chicken wings, nothing. And like lamb belly. I've got a Turkish butcher near me, and he does this unbelievable lamb belly. Cover that in tasty stuff and grill it.
Well, someone also who loves meat as much as you, Ruben, and probably yourself, Ben, is Eating With Todd. He's probably the most important food influencer in the world right now. Anything he touches just goes completely crazy and viral. What has been like the impact, good and bad, from him coming in and doing that amazing video at your place recently?
Todd is great, and I think influencers are super important. They get a lot of flack, sometimes rightly so.
Yeah. I saw a thing the other day. Sorry to stop.
No, don't worry.
Someone's just saying someone needs to stop this man, and it was this guy. I'd never heard of him before.
Really? Someone was saying he's the.
I'm worried about his cholesterol. That's what I'm worried about.
See, he's the fella with spectacles.
Yeah. He's always so.
I never heard of him. Someone's like, please stop this man. Yeah. What does
brilliant.
He do?
He's brilliant, but I'm worried he's eating a lot of food every day.
So you're worried from a health perspective.
Yeah. No, in terms of content, he's amazing.
Yeah. He's one of the good ones. Yeah. I think, truthfully, he wouldn't post. If it wasn't
great.
Yeah. So,
but what's the impact in terms of afterwards? Because obviously, you then get thousands more people coming through the door.
Yeah,
does that bring pressure in its own right?
Or? Yeah. Like we had a lot of like hungry rib hunters, basically.
Right, okay.
So he showed us that we made these ribs, which we do as a special on a Friday, and we do like 12 racks because our smoker is really small, and we're more of like a restaurant than a big smokehouse. And we had like. A lot of people coming in saying, like, we're here for the ribs. We've come from Essex and Manchester and whatever. And we were like,
sold out.
We're done. Like, we sold them out like that. And then, like, people turn nasty.
Yeah. Really?
They just put in a, they get a bit stroppy, you know, hungry people. But we say, look, we got this. We got,
we got
chicken wings.
We got something else.
Exactly. But it opened my eyes to how savage people can be.
Yeah.
We're like primal. I think we're like the inner cavewoman comes out in us, and when we see ribs and bones and barbecue, and people go like, yeah.
Well, one way to always bring a smile to someone's face is ice cream, and true. I must say, I know you're known for your meats and everything, but your dessert. Can you just talk us through that? Because that was fucking magical. I mean, I don't normally do pudding, and then suddenly Rosie was like, "Should we have? It looks amazing. That whatever the table we're eating." I said, "I didn't really had one."
What was it?
Was this the jam on toast ice cream?
No, this was the malt.
Oh, yeah. Malt. So I love, like, everyone loves a Malteser, right?
Yeah.
So we do a malt ice cream. So it's basically, we get malt from our brewer. We toast it. We infuse it in the custard, essentially. And then we strain it off. And that gives it this amazing malty flavor. And then we make an ice cream and serve it with, like, lots of chocolate crumble and caramel, and it's just like, but that malt flavor, you know, like so, Ovaltine and all that stuff, it's just like so delicious.
What's the jam toast one? That sounds good as well.
So we use a Polish rye sourdough, and the ends of the bread you can't use. It's just really annoying, and it's like a constant battle for us, like, because we get through a lot of bread. So we make breadcrumbs, we eat it for star food a lot, and then we turn it into ice cream. So
is it like the sort of old St. John, like brown bread and marmalade ice cream? Is it
kind
like
of.
That
it's,
kind of vibe?
It's that kind of vibe, but we call it like a sourdough ice cream because it's like a sourdough. So we toast it really heavily until it's like nearly burnt, and then infuse it in the milk again when we're making the ice cream. And it gives it literally the flavor of like a nutty toast, like caramelized, that Maillard reaction, like toast flavor. And then essentially... jam, or I mean, I always say I have this like concept on the side. It's called slice cream. So it's you know, I always say to people, you know, what's your favorite thing to have on toast? Sometimes this backfires, but it's a nice introduction into it.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I hope that people say like marmalade or something like that, and I'll be like, well, imagine that, but with sourdough ice cream. Ugh. And then we put brown butter. So like you would a slice of toast. You have toast, butter, then some sort of spread, Nutella, peanut butter, marmalade. Jam and like any type of jam, you know, plum, like anything, but we do it on ice cream.
Polish plum jam, the best in the world.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
It is fucking good. I used to have a Polish builder back in the day, and he used to bring chocolate plums back the whole time. This is 20 years ago.
Best in the little wrappers.
Yeah, the little purple
chocolate
wrappers.
Chocolate plums?
Yeah, I never had them.
They are the best. In Polish, it's sliwka. Okay. It's like that. That's like plum or prune. And these ones in chocolate, it's dark chocolate. You come in a fancy little wrapper.
Yeah.
And it's literally like a kind of candied plum inside
chocolate.
It's so good.
I want to talk about Poland. Obviously, you grew up in a sort of second generation Ashkenazi Polish family. Were you eating a lot of Jewish food? What were you eating as a kid? Just give us your childhood memories.
I'd say, because it's from my mum's side, it's my gran. Mm-hmm. She was the one who'd probably cook the most kind of Polish Jewish food. So a lot of beetroot. Mm. And my mum cooks a lot of beetroot, kind of herring, roll mops, lots of rye bread. My favourite memory is pączki. So they're like essentially Polish donuts.
With apple?
So I think sometimes they're with apple, but the more traditional one is with these plums, with the plum jam.
Right, okay.
And they're like kind of got this icing sugar. They're pretty big, yeah. They're hefty. They have an icing sugar, which is almost shatters on the outside. And then they're filled with just kind of sour plum jam, and they're unbelievable.
What about the Polish dumplings? You can have those sweet. Mm. Have you ever had those?
Pierogi. Pierogi.
Yeah, pierogi.
Yeah,
banging.
Have you been to Poland?
No.
Have you?
I'd love to.
They
still have the milk bars. I went there last year from like the communist era, where you can go and have like the most amazing food. Have you been to one of those?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, incredible. Haven't changed since like the 70s. Walk in and it's just fresh on the board every day, and they just bring, you know, they used to be workers' cafes.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing stuff. Pierogies.
Yeah, mega.
Savory, I know. Sweet.
I need a trip back.
Yeah.
I haven't been for
kefir
for
your
while.
Gut.
Yeah.
I mean, Jewish people, I think, have bad gut. That's another question I was in there. Yeah. I asked Ben's vegan kitchen. He came in, do you remember? He said,
yeah.
I've got about, maybe it's thousands of years of persecution. Who knows? But does kefir help you out? Do you take kefir?
I sometimes do. Like, if I see it, I'll buy it and I'll have it. But I don't feel
I just didn't realize it was a Polish thing.
I don't feel different after having it.
No, me neither.
No.
Yeah, sometimes it's a lot to stomach, just this sour milk first thing in the morning. Like,
I bought a Zoe shot the other day at M&S. You know Zoe?
Yeah.
Complete waste of money. Guy.
Really?
Yeah, Tim Spector.
I think if I'm going to have any of that like gut health thing, kimchi. Kimchi.
Yeah. Kimchi.
God. Kimchi's
I'm
delicious.
I put it in every dish. Yeah. I bring it up every pot.
It's fantastic.
But
I think it's the most delicious out of all of those kind of gut-friendly.
Fermenty
things. Yeah. Like kefir is nice, maybe in a smoothie or something, but I'm not making smoothies all the time. Kimchi, if you've got a pot there, you know, you're a bit peckish.
Yeah, bang.
And that's your gut health. Done. Yeah, we make our own because we've got a sandwich.
Was there pineapple in that the other day or something? There's something there's protein.
We got daikon.
Okay.
And lots of carrot and stuff, which probably the sweetness. Yeah. But we use it in our kimchi ruben. So obviously it's quite similar to sauerkraut in the sense that it's a fermented cabbage.
Yeah, yeah.
We basically replace sauerkraut.
Just a bit more exciting.
Yeah, a little bit, just a bit
no
more.
No shade on sauerkraut, but yeah, there's more going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sauerkraut you can pimp up with like juniper berries and all of that stuff. But kimchi's a win.
Yeah, it's badass.
What about your favourite dish of your mum's when you're growing up?
She makes a really delicious pissaladière.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful, buttery puff pastry.
Mm.
Laid out almost like a pizza.
Yeah.
And then you cover it in caramelized onions, loads of onions.
Yeah.
You probably need like 12
Jeez.
Onions. Cook them down, loads of thyme and garlic. Cover the base of this puff pastry. And then you're usually meant to make a really lovely pattern with anchovies and olives on top. And so you do a crisscross.
Mm.
And then you bake it. And then you just have like almost like this just... it's like a French pizza, but so far from a pizza, probably a sin to call it a pizza. And it's just delicious with a salad.
Yeah, outrageous. Yeah.
And that's off the top of my head. Like she cooks a lot of delicious food. Now she's a bit like, I don't want to cook anymore. I've been doing it for 40 years for you.
It's over to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that is a delicious thing
Sounds
that she
amazing.
Makes. It's a really lovely thing.
Long hours in the kitchen for you currently. Do you have time to socialize? Get a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you're doing nowadays, you know?
Well, I work with my girlfriend.
Okay.
We met at Naughty Piglets.
Nice.
And then I left and did my own thing. She was still there. She just went away for a while and she's come back and now she's stepped in and
stayed. She was recommending the Negronis the other day, maybe, to me.
Probably.
She said it's the best Negroni in the world. It was.
Really?
Yeah, it was bloody good.
Was it?
Probably. Yeah. But yeah, socializing. I mean, I work with my friends.
Yeah.
So that kind of is great at times in terms of like having a good time.
Mm.
Going for drinks after work, whatever, but also quite tricky if you're, you know, trying to tell someone off for being late and stuff like that. It's like done a house, you know. Yeah, it's difficult.
It's hard to navigate.
Difficult.
Yeah.
You don't want to give your mate a hard time, and you don't want to sack your mate.
What's the worst bollocking you ever got when you were working in the professional kitchens?
I was working in a place called the Dot Kitchen, brilliant restaurant, now closed.
All right.
And the gas oven blew up, and the door blew off its hinges and nearly took my legs out. And I, A, was shaken by that, and B, was like, well, we can't really cook without an oven.
Yeah.
And said, I was sort of... sous chef, we didn't have sous chefs officially, but I was like, well, I think that's it for today.
Yeah.
We'll have to let people know. The guy who owned the restaurant came in and gave me absolute bollocking. Was like, we've got a grill.
Yeah.
We're carrying on. So that I got like really told off. I nearly lost my legs.
That's unjust.
So anyway, that's probably the worst bollocking I've ever got.
Well, I think it's time we got out some drinks because, you know, all this talking's got me. Oh my God, that's a huge thermos again. Last week they had a gumbo in for Tom.
Correct.
This week, what's it got? And I hope you cleaned it.
Yeah, that's the all my Tupperwares. Yeah, I clean them really well. Yeah. I promise you. If this slightly tastes of like
of gumbo,
yeah, that's the thing. They get tainted, don't they?
Yeah,
this had Mike's crab soup in it a few weeks ago.
Oh wow! Well, what's in there now?
Pina colada.
Pina colada.
Yeah. I just thought like, fuck
fun
it,
time,
the weather's
partying.
Grim.
Yeah, definitely.
When you pour out that pina colada, Ruben, what is your go-to cocktail?
Yep. My go-to cocktail, speaking of Negronis, is anything kind of Negroni-esque.
Okay.
So I love an Americano.
Mm.
That is a fantastic, and very, like, you can drink a lot of them. Like, Negronis I love as well, but, you know, after a few, like, that's a lot of spirit, you know?
Yeah.
Not so much, there's no, like, mixer, there's no whatever. But yeah, anything kind of bitter, aperitivo, open up the old taste buds, that's the one.
What about, you know, when you have a day off in the restaurant and you go home, what's your sort of pre-supper canapé? If you had Ben and I come around, pre-supper snack, what are you going to lay out on the tables in, you know, the Chateau de Ruban?
I would say a gilda. Some sort of gilda. That mixture of kind of salty fish, so an anchovy traditionally, a pickle.
Yeah.
And then an olive, something briny.
So very Saint Sebastian-esque.
Yeah. I think you can, I mean, though, like, you can't defeat that combo of, like, salty, sweet, kind of pickly, sour, whatever. It just works. They're super easy.
So addictive.
So I'd throw a couple of those out. And then I also love pani puris.
Oh, yeah.
So those as a little snack are amazing.
I know what they are, but talk our audience through what they are.
Essentially.
I don't want to show off.
No, it's a flex. I like it.
I'll have a little sip of this first.
Yeah, please do. Cheers.
Mega.
Thanks
cheers
for coming in, mate.
Oh, thanks for having
congratulations
me.
Congratulations on the award.
You know, I wasn't expecting to have this either.
Oh no, we
this
like to treat our guests. That's delicious.
Is that right?
It reminds me again of Club Med. I know.
Oh yeah,
my cocktail list.
Yeah, you should go work in Club Med.
Comes from like Club Med in the 90s, yeah. I think.
You should go work in Club Med.
Yum.
It's very good.
It's all right.
Lovely.
I don't know how.
Booze in.
Yeah.
Really.
It's got some rum in it.
Yeah, you've got a lovely nice little balance of.
That's delicious.
Filth.
It's a lovely way to start an Easter weekend.
It's a terrible way to start an Easter weekend, but here we are.
So go on, tell us.
Pani puri.
Pani puri.
Puri is like the name of the vessel. I believe it's like a puffed up kind of chickpea flour type crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And you get them in little discs and then you fry them and they into certain, like spheres. And then you stick your finger through and hollow them, and they're hollow, so you stick your finger through and you've got an opening and you can put whatever the fuck you want in them.
Ugh.
So traditionally it's like tamarind water and some spiced chickpea and maybe a pomegranate or some herbs, and it's like a street food snack, so that's really delicious. But recently I've just been filling it with all sorts. Obviously I've got a lot of smoked meat lying around, so putting a bit of smoked meat in there, like a bit of smoked lamb.
Oh yeah.
Maybe a pickled pomegranate seed, some sort of salsa, some chutney or something like that. And it's banging. It's just that crisp. It's like a...
Then they like explode in your mouth. It's like a nice
exactly.
Like, bang.
And then you can also, you know, any of the juices maybe from the smoked lamb, if you want to replicate that kind of liquid explosion, just put a bit of that in as well.
God, sounds good.
They're really good. It's a vehicle. Mm. It's a straight up vehicle.
Yeah, it's like what you're doing with Latkes.
Yeah, exactly.
The perfect vehicle for food, I think.
Yeah.
So we go.
No, I just, like, I know I'm interrupting the go-tos.
No, you're not at all.
How do you, have you just got a mind that is just, like, trying to work shit out and you're like, well, I'll experiment and kind of, like, work it out? Or are you, because, like, the stuff you're talking about is, like, you know, high levels of stuff. As in, clearly, you're a professional chef, but like, where does that come from? You're just like inquisitive, greedy.
I think, how can I rock people's minds with some weird shit? Like, do stuff that people haven't done before. So,
and like, just like, let your imagination go.
Yeah, exactly. And just do some really weird stuff. That's where I begin. And then, you know, like I said, with the chicken soup sausage, that was just from reading a very traditional book on food. And I was like, okay, cool. So I'm not going to make a chicken soup, because if I post a picture of chicken soup or I cook it, yeah, it will be delicious. People will enjoy it, but it's not going to get attention. How do I get attention?
Yeah.
And
then from a technical side, how do you know to do all the things you described when you're talking about getting from chicken soup, Claudia Roden, to your sausage? Is that just experimentation?
In terms of sausage, I made a lot of shit sausages. I've made batches of like 10 kilogram sausages that I've had to like open up every single one because like the ratios are off and stuff like that. So a lot of mistakes.
Experimentation.
Sometimes I think, you know, if I'd spent 10 years working under someone else or whatever, I probably would make less mistakes. But I love being in charge and like, you know, being my own boss.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. And I like that. And it's fun, you know, experimenting is fun. Last night I was making mustards at work, and like a couple of them tasted pretty punchy and not so nice. But other ones, you know, tasted nicer. Yeah. And, you know, I was making a hot honey mustard and that kind of vibe, delicious. You know.
And I guess that's how you keep it unique, because it's like, it's all coming through you. You're not like, I was told to do this way, so now I've got,
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of, where I get the inspiration.
Have you ever reached out to Owen Barrett, the guy who started Monty's?
No.
He's down in Somerset now.
We follow each other and he's making some amazing looking sausages.
Yeah, man, like, that's what I was thinking when he's talking about the sausage. Like, you should go and...
Yeah, was it Owen's Hams and Sausages?
Yeah.
I want to go.
Go and hang out with him.
Yeah.
Because he's got that mad brain that like...
Oh, man, yeah.
Just, you know, he like has an idea and he follows it right to the nth degree.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good shout. I need to go. How far is it? Somerset?
Somerset. I think he's like an hour.
It's in the train station.
Yeah.
Is it?
Cool.
In Froome, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Sausage clamp incoming.
Yeah.
Literally.
What about your morning drink? First thing in the morning, what are you drinking?
A big glass of hot water, followed by a cup of tea.
How hot's the water?
Pretty hot.
Like kettle hot? Like tea hot?
No, not like kettle.
You're getting a check.
Yeah. He's killing himself, yeah.
From the tap, hot?
No. So boil the kettle for tea, but also for a bit of water. So a bit of cold water, then top it with hot water. And man, that just gets the whole body going.
A whole pint of it?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Just like get the hydration in, but also gets your whole digestion, everything going.
Who told you about that?
It's a Japanese thing, I think. Okay. I think someone mentioned it once, and I was like, cool, like, I'll give it a go. And I like it. It's nice. It's like a hug. A hug in the morning.
So simple.
I can't wait to sleep and wake up and do that.
What do you have a cup of tea in the morning?
Yeah. Black tea.
Yeah. So
bit of manuka honey.
So when you're making that
tea. From Aldi, it's fake. Fake manuka honey.
When you're making that tea, just put a pint glass next to it.
Yeah.
A little bit of cold water. Bit of hot water in the pint glass, bit of hot water in the tea. And sip it or chug it or whatever, and you're just like...
Can you feel it?
Feel it everywhere. Like, it's just like a nice like hug in your insides.
A warm hug.
Imagine if, I was talking to someone earlier about they have a pint of like ice water. Yeah. Like, that's not what you want.
No.
I want to get everything like going nicely. I don't want to like shock the system.
Japanese people, no, that's too... But I think, because, you know, we all drink cold drinks with food.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some Japanese, and they were like, that's mental. Why are you doing that? Because they would always have like at least room temperature or a warm drink.
Yeah.
Not always, but
like a hot sake.
Yeah. And when you're talking about fatty food,
you
eat like fatty lamb and then drink cold water.
Yeah.
That's going to congeal.
Totally.
Guts.
And then you have
to.
It makes sense.
The boys are
it
on
makes
something.
Sense.
People are on something.
What about your hangover drinker choice?
Some sort of electrolyte tablet. Or something. It's just like you gotta get over it.
Like replace That's, stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Something with salts in them.
And what are you eating with it?
Noodles, some sort of broth, some sort of soupy. I love a fur. Fur is my go-to, like, just everything. Like, I fucking love that stuff. If I'm feeling ropey.
But you wake up in the morning. I mean, you're going to go straight into that? Is there not something...
Sounds genius.
No, it sounds amazing, but I'm worrying you're living like a Japanese man in, like, the 18th century.
If I'm hungover... I'm not going to be getting up till late.
Yeah.
Okay. And it might already be venturing into kind of lunchtime.
Thing is, you're still young enough to wake up late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wake up past like 7. I mean, this is now like a self-help
podcast. It's a new regime that you're being led towards by
I know. Yeah.
No, and also you don't, like, sometimes if I have like a big fry up, if I'm feeling hungover, like, I feel kind of like,
I feel awful.
Doesn't make me feel good after, but you can't feel bad after like a clean broth.
Mm. Yeah, it's so true.
Some sort of miso, even, it doesn't even have to be a pho, it could be a miso soup with some like udon in and maybe a boiled egg on top, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's a great show.
Just a broth. And then that's, again, it's a hug. You've got to hug your inside. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about warm hugs, this podcast. Literally. Take us through, obviously, everything really started kicking off for you when you started cooking out of your garden with your dad's smoker during lockdown.
Yeah.
How crazy was that time? Because obviously most people sat at home sort of wanking, wondering what they were going to do with their lives, and you were out there working and hustling.
Yeah, it was a weird time, wasn't it? It was like, I was very fortunate to be able to have a garden and a barbecue, my dad's barbecue, and I just started just smoking. I started making pastrami, because before then I hadn't done any smoking. It was like Reuben sandwiches, salt beef, traditional Jewish food. You know, I was making latkes, all of that stuff. And then in lockdown, I was like, okay, cool. So we've got this barbecue. Let's try and make pastrami. I started making pastrami, which is essentially salt beef. So it's brisket, cured, but instead of just boiling it or steaming it, you give it a beautiful pepper and coriander rub. You can throw other bits and bobs in there. Sometimes I put garlic powder. Sometimes I put paprika. Mm. And then you rub it, smoke it for like 4 hours, and then you finish it in a steamer. You can go all the way in a smoker, but traditional is to steam it, because brisket's super lean.
Yeah,
it's a very lean cut. So if you're like giving it like a dry heat for a long amount of time, you're like, you don't see people roasting brisket, because it would just dry the hell out. It's always steamed or boiled. So you steam it, and then slices, and it gets that beautiful crusty, barky, kind of peppery vibe. And so that's what I started doing. And then I was like, cool, so what else can I smoke? Started smoking pork cheeks,
nice.
Putting them in tacos, putting that in meal kits, and people loved it. People didn't have much to do than eat. It was like eating, kind of go for a run around the park.
But how did the operation work? Did people come pick it up from your house?
A bit of both. I tried to not do too much house collection, because it somewhat felt a little bit intrusive to my like family's space. But yeah, I my uncle and auntie, they had a cargo bike that they used to bring their kids to school on. It was quite an old school one, not too techie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they used to have their dog in it and all that stuff like that. And they essentially gave it to me, because they were like, look, you're doing this, you know, I was delivering on the back of my bike or whatever. And they were like, look, take this. We put a cement box on the front of it. And then I started loading it up with kind of pre-made meal kits in brown paper bags, and just delivering it to South. Yeah, literally. Yeah. I just like on Google Maps, I'd have like a loads of different stops planned out, and I just whiz around South London and deliver.
Mad.
It was good. You know what? It was a bit of like a lifesaver for me, because I other than that, I don't know what I'd have done. I didn't have anything else on. So it was like having that to do every week was just amazing.
You then post lockdown go work at the Naughty Piglets, as you said earlier. What was your favourite dish on the menu there? Did you have any nightmare days in there? I mean, obviously now you're running your own place, you work there. We like to our chefs who come on. What's the worst day you've ever had in the kitchen as well? And then tell us your favourite item on the menu.
Worst day I've ever had in the kitchen. I'd probably say our first night of opening in Brixton Market.
What happened?
You'd think it would be amazing. We were fully ready. Everything was good. I was feeling good. The menu was prepped. And then just all the power.
What?
Yeah, all the power went.
Just for you or the whole market?
Just for us.
Oh, God.
So we have like a hot holder for the meat. We have sandwich presses. We had the deep fryer. We have oven. You know, like, all this stuff we need to produce the food. And it just kept on going, kept on like just shutting off. And, you know, there was just like our busiest night. This is what I always think, like, it's like a curse, kind of like when you open up, everyone comes down on the first night to support, which is so lovely and it's like a blessing, but it's the night where things are probably gonna go wrong.
Yeah,
and you're gonna
night, yeah.
you're gonna learn. I guess that's why people do soft launches, but even on those, like,
it's, you know, still full of all the like, people you don't really
exactly
want
to get. So all the power kept on going. I was running to and from the kitchen to the like switch box, trying to sort stuff out, unplugging different bits of equipment. Somehow we fed people, but I still don't, you know, that night, I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, that was a horrible, you know, I was thinking in my head, it was like, I was having flashbacks to like my first ever pop-up, which was also quite unorganized. I was thinking, has anything changed?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck's sake. Like, you know, I thought I'd maybe progressed from here. But we sorted it out. And now we're
sort of good for that to be your first night, right? Because you're like, well, if we survive that, we'll just make it work.
Yeah, literally, like, you know, us having stuff in the fryer, and it's just like you look at it, and it's like not bubbling.
It's not bubbling anymore.
You're literally just soaking it with oil. Throw it away, put it back in. Same thing. It's just like, oh man, it was. But it was like that was the worst. And then what was
favorite item in Naughty Piglets
on the menu all the time? It never changed. Was this pork belly dish that we essentially salt pork belly, steam it overnight, press it, and then when it was cold, we'd barbecue it on the fat side, and you'd get these beautiful grid marks on the thing, and we'd serve it with like a gochujang sauce and a beautiful sesame dressing. That was really delicious. Or XO sauce. It was my first introduction to XO sauce, which is essentially a fish bolognese. And we'd serve that with beef cheek, and it was just phenomenal. I want to get a little smoked XO sauce on the menu.
What is XO sauce?
Essentially, I think it's it's like a scallops and dried shrimp.
Like dried, yeah.
Cooked down with traditionally like a Chinese sausage. Right. So it is kind of like a fishy mince, and then you put lots of chili, shallot, ginger, garlic, and cook it down, and I think you put in like Chinese wine.
Yeah.
And you basically end up with this mince that's just super fragrant and punchy. And then people put that in butter and then cook it in a scallop with scallops and stuff like that. It's just a flavor. It's like a little flavor bomb.
Yeah.
But I want to do it with like a smoked sausage and maybe some smoked bacon, and then, you know, throw that on a hispy cabbage or something like that. It's banging. Yeah.
Is that where you met Robin Gill, who's now become sort of a mentor of yours, a business partner?
Not there, actually. I met Robin through Molly Hutchinson, who is my lovely manager, and she runs Meatopia, and she's just launched Sarni Party, which is a very exciting festival, which is happening in May. It's a big sandwich festival, essentially.
Really?
Yeah, and probably the only one in the UK. I don't know any other sandwich festivals,
for sure.
But you guys should definitely. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely. 100%. Well, we're interviewing a guy called Sensational Sandwiches.
Okay. Get him involved.
Maybe he's going there. We'll have to find out.
I mean, if your thing's sandwiches, he should be there.
Yeah,
he should.
A bit of a detour. But yeah, essentially, she introduced me to Robin. And Robin was looking for someone to do some barbecuing over in his bakery in West London, which is sadly closed now, but it was really cool. It was in Brentford. When he initially told me Brentford, I was like, oh, so out of London, you want me to go?
Yeah.
But it's not too far, and it is still in London. Really fun. It was really amazing. That was my first kind of opportunity to go and like do a long term. Before that, I'd just done pop-ups. Yeah. I was at Piglets, whatever. And this was like the first real deal. And we were doing these barbecue trays, and he kind of stepped in to be a kind of mentor to me, which is much needed. You know, I'm new to the game, so I can't go in thinking that I know everything, because I don't. And I'm learning, which is great. And it's
amazing guy to have on site.
Oh man, 100%. Yeah. Like I think everyone, you know, needs someone to at this stage when you're in early days to guide you.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, making sure I don't make too many mistakes and showing me how to do it.
It's time for some food.
Yeah.
It's time for some go-to food. It's amazing. Time for some food to eat.
Amazing.
Ben, have you bought anything?
Yeah.
What have you bought?
So I've bought
something in a brown paper bag.
I made bagels.
Oh my god.
And I made them to show how hard it is.
So yes, okay. I get where you're going.
I fuck stuff up a lot on this podcast,
you
right?
You do. Which actually people like, I think.
And it's tough. I have a one shot to get this stuff right.
Yeah. Well,
and they're all right. But what I think, I'm going to do a little speech about cooking.
Let's go.
On a monologue.
I've been a head chef. I've run a lot of restaurants.
You have?
I know how to cook. Written a lot of cookbooks. So I like know how to cook. And I always think, like someone like you do, like, this is why I'm obsessed with like why your brain, like how good you are at it from experimentation. I think people often, when you go to restaurants and you eat, maybe people, you sort of think, oh, I can make that pasta at home, or like, oh, I've eaten bagels, da da. It's fucking hard to get this stuff like right and like at that high level time and again. So that's why I fuck stuff up.
Okay, that was beautiful.
To show people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That even though I know what I'm doing.
But take us through the process of bagels, because you've got to boil, you've got to bake, you've got to...
Just make a dough.
Go on.
Let it rise, knock it back, portion it, make little holes in them.
Yeah.
Boil it in like a sort of tasty honey water for a while. I think that's the bit, I don't know. Yeah. They got a weird shape. Anyway, boil it in the tasty honey water.
A bit of malt or barley in there. Or something like
good
that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
and then bake them off.
Okay.
But I've got like a shit.
Well, let's see them.
Oven. Yeah, yeah, I'll get them out.
La la.
And what's in them?
These bad boys.
I've just done a classic like chive cream cheese.
Oh, nice.
Smoked salmon.
Oh, God.
They feel lovely.
They're all right.
I think you're doing yourself down. I don't know.
I think you are as well, Ben.
People say that, but.
Let's go.
Get them out.
They look really weird.
Well,
and I think when I was boiling them, they had this like very.
They feel
nicely wrapped as well. I like the.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Look at that. What's wrong? What's happened there?
That actually looks pretty good.
I think it's good. Oh, they've got a crust as well.
Yeah,
I can't even open my bag. There we go.
But I
they look pretty good, to be fair.
It's tough out here though.
I think that they're feeling.
It tastes good as well.
Too chewy? How do you stop them being too chewy?
They're a bit chewy, but they're good.
I think you want that. I think you want to chew.
Well, we're
going to
do a podcast at some point, so maybe not this chewy, but
no.
They are bloody good.
They're not bad.
They are good.
You need like a 5-minute interval and then.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, we have to buy more time again.
No, I love that.
But my point is, when you go to someone like Ruben's restaurant and you eat something and you're like, oh, this is, I have this at home, this is a bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot better, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm into these. I love
Ruben's into them. You got his seal of approval. Yeah. He's the hottest chef in the world, one to watch. And Ben, you know, he's happy. Ruben, what's your go-to delivery order?
I don't like delivery.
It's tough, isn't it?
Okay.
It comes and it's fucking cold.
Mm-hmm.
Unless.
Yeah, probably good. Yeah.
It is a curry, thank you. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a curry.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that a curry is a great thing, you know. If your delivery driver gets lost and it comes cold, you can just heat it up.
Mm-hmm.
But a pizza, you slightly lose a bit of that. A burger, you're done. You're done for.
Chips can't travel.
Chips, you can't do that.
Right.
But a curry, be that a Thai curry, an Indian curry, whatever, you can save. So I think an Indian is a great takeaway option.
I agree.
If not. Again, I love any kind of ramen place that will give you the noodles separate, and then the broth is a great thing. Because I'm,
are you requesting that?
I mean,
or is that
no? I think no, most like, of them it, most it? Of them do it now.
Really?
Yeah, I think fold most it, of them yeah. have realised that if you put the noodles in and it's like a half an hour delivery, you're gonna get mush.
They're done for,
yeah. But I'd say some sort of curry is my go to takeaway.
Indian or Japanese?
I like an Indian.
Okay.
I am a big sucker for Indian food.
Can you process spice?
Yeah.
Yeah, for.
Yeah, pretty good. I made an unedible dal for staff dinner the other day where the whole team couldn't eat it.
It
was just too spicy.
Yeah, right.
We love hearing about staff dinners. That's probably the worst one you've ever had, is it?
it was pretty bad, to be honest. But I obviously was like, oh, no, it's not too bad.
Did you stand by it? You were like,
I stood by it. I was like, oh, you guys, you know, need a man out of it. But it was bloody spicy.
Right. What's the best staff meal you've ever had?
Best staff meal I've ever had was probably at Naughty Piglets. Joe, who's the head chef owner, just whipped up had some cod and just started cooking up this beautiful cod with lentils and a salsa verde and stuff. And there's like, you pay like 30 quid for that in a restaurant. Oof. And I was there just like eating it for staff food, and that was amazing. But that never happened. Like, staff food is generally like waste that you turn into a nice
something
meal.
Else, yeah.
We had a really nice one last week. We just did this Thai pop-up, like I was saying. We had a couple of Thai sausages left over, and one of my chefs made a like kind of pad Thai style thing with this sausage that he chopped up, and it was delicious. But that's the, you know, that's the vibe of staff food. Sometimes it's hit, sometimes it's miss, but most of the time it's using up stuff that you don't want to throw away and trying to be as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
Sadly, that's. I mean, you know this already, but that's the reality. You don't want to be spending 20 quid a head on your staff.
Well, I think you were saying, Ben, weren't you, that it's actually quite suspicious when there's really good staff food, because you're worried how 100%. Much they're fucking spending out of the pantry.
Yeah, especially when it's the guy that does the stock take.
Yeah.
Sure, like, you've definitely, there's some things gone missing there.
100%. What about your go-to midweek meal? If you get a night off from Ruben's, or you know, your sort of quickly growing food empire, what is your go-to quick, easy Wednesday night? The girlfriend's coming around. You don't want to be fucking around in the kitchen too long. You want to have some fun with her.
Omelette.
Nice. Omelette.
Always. It's classy.
Really? Okay.
Like a nice French omelette, classy with a clean salad. Mm. I think that's a nice little way to show off and be quick. You know, if you can get that nice. you know, the French style where you basically make like a scrambled egg, let it set.
Yeah.
Don't cook it too much. So you just got a kind of pale parcel that slightly wobbles. You cut it open. It's got beautiful scrambled eggs essentially inside that are still cooked on a slice of sourdough or just straight up. You can zhuzh it up with maybe a slice of Emmental inside or truffle if you've got fucking truffle knocking about. I don't know, but you can, you know, or chili oil or something. Yeah. Mm. You can pimp it out, or you can say to whoever you're with, like, look in the fridge, grab a condiment, drizzle it on top, whatever. Or you just have it straight up with a bit of black pepper. And I think, you know, that little, you know, when you rub it with butter, so you get that parcel, that's like a kind of, it's a parcel. What's the best way to describe it? Omelette. It's like a,
sort of like
an eggy French pod. Parcel of love.
It's like an eggy French parcel.
And you know when you rub it with a little bit of butter and it glistens, that's like a restauranty touch and I think that's good, and it's so easy. You don't need to prepare anything.
Very classy.
Yeah, so that's what I like to eat most weeks. I'll have a couple of omelettes. Just because eggs are easy to have.
Do you have your salad in a separate vessel like the French or not? That's what I've always wanted to get into. I've never actually started doing it.
Like, bring it to the table.
Yeah, no, but you have like a side bowl with salad. It never touches the plate.
The plate.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
I can respect that. Thank you. Sometimes I'm like, just throw it all
in. Yeah, no. I'd always throw it in. I just like the idea of it.
No, I like that as well. That would be if I came into the room and my brother or something was having separate salad and things on different dips, I'd be like,
that's awesome.
Fair play, man. Fair play. You're cool. Like, that's classy.
Let's lower the tone. What's your favorite meal deal combo?
Favorite meal deal? Okay. I think I like a very classic kind of, because meal deals come in that shit bread, right? Yeah. That soft, like plasticky Hovis style bread. And I love like a really classic ham and butter.
Yeah.
Get a packet of crisps, salt and vinegar Walkers or cheese and onion Walkers. Throw it in.
Going inside.
And wash it down with a cold Coke. Mm. Just super simple. Fat. Yeah, of course, definitely. That's just if I'm going to, I think a meal deal is a treat. That's it's a treat meal for me. It's like kind of shitty, but fantastic at the same time. So making a crisp sandwich, that just makes it for me proper.
In the food world, it's like inverted, because I think a lot of people, that's their day to day, right?
Yeah, they
go to work, get a meal deal at lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have the same thing. Like I'm often on a car journey and like, fuck, get a meal deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's a proper treat.
Have fun with it. Yeah, but it's most people treat. Are like, fuck it.
Yeah, I know. It's not, yeah.
What's always in your fridge? Your go to item in the fridge?
I would say kimchi, but we talked about that already. Kimchi's great. Some sort of like dip. Hummus or like a aubergine-y kind of baba ganoush-y vibe. I mean, I mostly have hummus in the fridge, so you can dip fucking anything in hummus. You can dip your fingers in hummus and eat it, and it's fucking delicious. But like crisps and hummus or something like that. It's just an easy thing in the fridge that you can have.
What about you, Ben? What's always in the fridge? For me, it's those big sort of Polish gherkins, huge jar of those and mustard seeds and everything, and sauerkraut.
There's a lot. I have a lot of condiments.
It's always the kind of pickly, crunchy bits that you just reach in.
No matter what time of day, you can have a big one of those.
The thing that is never in my fridge, as in it is, always buy them.
Yeah.
Never last. Like little silver skin onions.
Mm.
Little pickled onions.
Mm. Sort of thing you'd put in a beef bourguignon or?
Yeah, that kind of vibe. Yeah. Okay. But like pickled.
Yeah, yeah.
And I cannot resist
them. Yeah, banging.
The jar lasts one night.
What about the go-to item? I was thinking this the other day. Yesterday, I opened the fridge. There was a slice of Comté and there was some sweet cherry tomatoes from Spain. And I just put them together and happily ate them. What's your kind of go-to fridge combo is what we call a random...
The crossover.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like you open the fridge and you go like,
okay,
I need a quick little snack.
It's probably along those same lines, isn't it? You've always got some old cheddar in there. And you've always got a jar of pickles, so just slap them together, and you get the crunch in the some sort of chutney in there that you can
filth,
or like you always have an old box of crackers, so you can just slap on a bit of cheese. Yeah, it's that those kind of ones.
Posh dairy dumplings.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you? Same thought.
If I had to be honest,
shame yourself.
Well, it's got a good lineage. This snack.
Mm.
I remember like one of my first restaurant jobs, this chef was like really excited to show me that if you took a piece of Italian cheese, put ground coffee on it and then honey, it tastes like cheese and chocolate spread.
Oh, wow.
And it's like mad. Works. It's like a thing.
Okay.
Try it.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like ground coffee, honey, and like you eat it. It's really cool. It's delicious. Yeah.
But that sounds proper bizarre. Like that's
it's mad, and like yeah, it does
that could be your new ice cream flavor.
Yeah,
that would be a good ice cream.
Oh
flavor.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is, what it tastes like is cheese and like Nutella.
Right. Yeah.
And so like my the lineage of this like delicious thing that this guy showed me about 15 years yeah. ago is that I can't fucking resist. Like saying a yeah. old scrap of cheddar or like yeah. a bit of Gruyere or something.
Yeah.
I dunk it in Nutella.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's wrong. I don't do it very often.
Yeah.
You know, it's going
to
kill you.
I'm going to have to do that this weekend.
But anyway, that Italian cheese thing is classier yeah. and really cool.
But cheese and Nutella is a thing.
Yeah, yeah. In right. darker moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I need to be, if I need to
sweet
turn the corner,
and salty, bang. That's
it's
it.
A thing. I
that's
don't know. It. But yeah, I wouldn't.
No, I'm, yeah. Wow.
What about your worst cooking fad? I mean, I'm sick and tired of seeing people in mob chop everything up. What about you?
I don't know. I'm not anti anything. I got asked this the other day, like what's in and what's out in food, and I couldn't think of it. I ended up saying olives at restaurants is kind of annoying. Like a bit of a cheat sheet. I think it's they're not making the olives. Not saying that you should like, you know, just sell stuff that you make yourself, but it's like olives.
They're taking advantage of you.
Yeah. Maybe like beautiful charcuterie that you've picked from an amazing supplier. Cool. Mm. But like olives, man.
Yeah. So £4.50. What? For
yeah, $6? I know. That's
you're fucking shitting me.
Yeah. That's probably what I'd say. But I try and, yeah, I don't know. I'm not anti anything particular. Well, we bring something up later and I'll be like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Text it in.
Yeah. That's good to know. Ruben, we're going to finish off with your go-to locations, right? So we're going to start with your go-to weeknight restaurant. Obviously, it would be Ruben's.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't Ruben's, where are you going?
I absolutely love Smoking Goat.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic restaurant and it's far from the food that I cook and it's really interesting. And they do those like smaller, very traditional kind of Thai plates of salads and stuff like that, but they also have those wings which are delicious, and they do those bigger cuts of like really lovely like mutton or like I don't know, just weird cuts of meat that they just barbecue and just serve with a little Thai garnish, and that's just
so
banging
good.
Like that and the wings for me is just like that, and they
so you need.
They have the best beer in London, hands down.
Really?
Hands down.
What, like, do you know where it comes from? Like, what is it?
I don't even care where it comes
no,
from.
It's just good.
They serve it in freezing cold glasses that literally nice. Stick to your hand when you pick them up, and they're like, I think they're like 2/3, so it's a good size as well, and it's just like they're so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. So like
ice cold.
Yeah, that's my favorite restaurant.
What about
cocktails are great.
Favorite place for a special supper, special occasion, big birthday, big restaurant opening celebration, where are you going?
I've only been here once, but it's super memorable and it felt very fancy to what I'm used to. Chez Bruce.
Oh,
nice.
My favourite restaurant in the world.
Man.
Matt Christmas is a genius behind the stoves.
On ones with the,
on
that
common.
Little road.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Where Marco was back in the day.
Go on, I want to hear what you liked about it, because I think it's the best one of the best restaurants in the world.
It was just really like, the food is not too, small.
No.
It's like a meal.
Yeah.
And really delicious.
Yeah.
And just like,
do you remember
feels
what you
like
had?
Good value. Oh.
It's very good value. It's three courses of proper food.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just like trying to be clever and arsy.
Exactly. And the service is amazing, and they have those little cheese things at the beginning, and just those little things that make you feel like this is really special.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not arsy.
No, not at all. No. And I was like, this is eating out. Like this is that. So that feels very special. And like I said, I've only been once, but that stayed in my mind.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm saying that, because if I'm still thinking about it, I think it was 2 years ago that I went. Then yeah.
Sort of disappeared that whole.
Do you have
like,
some more food there?
Yeah, I've got some food and I'm celebrating internally.
Okay, go on.
Because I have a bit of history of doing this.
Go on.
So these aren't them, but this the inspiration was the Smoking Goat chicken wings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I made them.
And I've said.
And then you went and said it.
Wow. That's insane.
It's a bit like when
these are nowhere
Ben
near.
Deegan Kitchen mentioned the Ben noodles. When you get those ready, what's your go-to pub, Ruben?
My go-to pub, I would probably say I love the Canton Arms because it's south and it's local and food's good.
Mm-hmm.
Drinks are amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Their Negronis are fantastic. They have scampi fries and, you know.
Price can creep up though, can't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Fuck me.
But
we'll just have two or three plates. Fuck yeah, no.
Wow, that is it.
That looks amazing.
So these are nowhere near because I haven't deep fried them because I live at home and I don't want to smell like fish sauce frying in my house.
This is insane. But
they're like fish saucy Thai wings with like a nam prick pla, whatever it's called.
Oh,
you've literally just said like what I you've served up what
well,
I
love. Well, you tell us if you
love.
Also, this is a
Jordan.
Mess, right? So
I'm going in.
Please go in there.
Not,
that little sauce is amazing.
Dodge the old.
You can have like a full on cloth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Are you gonna risk one, Freddie?
Yeah, I'm going to have one in a second. I'm just getting my next couple of questions ready because I'm
by a bit of time.
Wary we need to wrap in all his go-tos.
Mm.
I haven't even tried them.
The king of meat is saying, which is a good I think.
They're obviously not as hot as they could be.
Well, did you keep them in the thermos flask?
No, I didn't.
Well, you should have done.
Wrapped in a cloth.
10 years of writing books about the genius of thermos flask and you forget to... Unbelievable.
That is a fantastic thing.
Dipping sauce is
that's
good,
a fantastic
your
wing.
Dipping sauce is really... That's hitting the...
Yeah.
Hitting the spot.
Sorry, Freddie. I've banging. Derailed your question.
No. I'm enjoying seeing
go.
Ruben this
Let's
happy.
Go.
Where's the best pizza in town? Now, this caused a bit of controversy last week.
Really?
So, yeah.
What was the...
Well, he went for three. Two of them weren't in London.
Oh, man.
Which didn't help.
I gotta say Dohan's makes the best pizza in London.
And what do you have in
there? I obviously haven't tried a few places that are on the map.
Yeah, Chris.
I haven't tried Vincenzo's or Gracie's, which I've heard so many good things.
Those two were on the top three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
is it Dohan's?
Dohan's.
Yeah.
She has unreal dough.
And hands.
She is super cool and a lovely person. And I think, yeah. And like, yeah. And her flavors and toppings and stuff are just on point. They're what you want to eat. And can I also say Bad Boy Pizza? Slightly.
Yeah.
So those two for me.
Nice.
But Dohan's like, yeah. 100%.
You know what's getting cool about London, I think, is, you know, it used to be like, obviously there's like Francomanca was a thing and then it became an annoying thing because it got pirate. And there's now like, we've all moved on from that Neapolitan being the only style. And there's like really cool little pizza joints in lots of neighborhoods now. Which I think like 5-10 years ago, there weren't.
Mm.
It was more like generic.
Mm.
I don't know. I think it's a good moment for London pizza. 100%. Is what I'm trying to say.
But no pizza in Brixton. We've Francomanca, dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's Mama Dough, but I that's not really.
No, like, it's had its turn.
Shaking the
map.
So Brixton, we need a pizza.
Yeah. Well, you should do a collab.
I was going to say, there's probably one man to like kind of make.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to pizzas.
That's it.
You might have to get on with it.
Can you smoke a pizza?
Maybe.
Snoop Dogg smoke pizzas.
Yeah, we smoked a lot.
I guess you could argue that when you cook it in a wood fire, you're smoking the dough.
For sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So pizza's already smoked if you're doing it in a wood.
Come on.
Well, we're changing the world here. Look out for Ruben's Pizzeria opening next year. Ruben, you've been absolutely wonderful. We're going to finish with two things. We're going to ask you your dream long weekend getaway. If you and your girlfriend could get away for a foodie weekend, where are you going and what you're doing?
I've never been... But I really want to go to New York.
Okay.
And I think it's important for my journey to taste the real deal.
Yeah.
Hit up Katz.
Yes, Katz Deli.
Hit up Frankel's.
Mm-hmm.
And all those like spots and
institutions,
just
yeah.
Eat some serious like Jewish New York deli food.
Yeah.
Just eat my way through the pastramis and the fucking turkey and all that stuff. Just like, yeah, that was literally what I'd love to do. It's on my list. I feel like there was someone told me once, I said, oh, look, I want to go and do this and then start up Rubens. And it was actually Tom from Honest Burgers who started Honest Burgers. I said, look, I'm going to go to New York and do this and then start this. He was like, no, don't do that. Go after.
Yeah.
And do it as a reward for doing that. So I'm waiting until the time's right to go and treat myself.
And then you can do it properly.
And try these places and say like, you know, yeah, just as a treat, as a kind of reward to myself.
And also, so, it's nice because they're not dictating how you do stuff. You're doing your own thing.
Yeah,
and you'll
go
out there and be like, oh, that's cool. Like,
so I met a few people who don't like that kind of like massive amount of meat and a little bit of bread. And
It's
like, oh, God, it's just like eating. It's no complexity to the sandwich. It's just meat. So I don't know. I just want to see.
Nice.
So that's my. I'd love that as a weekend, just in New York. And New York's cool, man. Like, there's always. It looks like there's always stuff going on in the food scene there.
Oh, you'll have a great
really
time.
Really interesting.
There. Well, Ruben, we wish you the best of luck in the world. You've been a wonderful guest, and you've done incredible things for the London food scene already. And I'm sure you're going to keep growing and doing amazing things. So thank you for coming in and sharing your story. We're going to finish with the way we always do, where we ask you of the three items you mentioned. They could be starters, main puts, whatever takeaways. What the three you're going to save?
Ooh,
so
yeah.
To make a sort of dream last meal, as it were.
Okay, mega. That's a big one. I would like to start with some wings. I'll have a couple of these bad boys.
Oh.
A couple of the fish, the ones from a little
smoking
selection
goat,
of wings,
yeah.
a platter of everything.
Wings platter.
To start off, and then I would love some like a big cut of meat. Probably again from Smoking Goat. Can you tell it's my favourite restaurant?
Yeah.
just barbecued meat. And then pudding's always a tricky one. For me, it's like an afterthought. But any kind of ice cream. I would say my own slice.
Yeah.
Some sort of slice cream, just because I think ice cream is just like the pudding you want, you know.
100%. Cool the heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the one.
I had a great friend at school, still actually, a wonderful friend of mine, Henry. And we always used to get these huge McDonald's deliveries or orders. And then get a McFlurry and would say it was to cool the heart. Yeah. As if that was a scientific thing. Do you know what I mean?
That is great.
Like, that was going
to
happen.
It does. It works like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a glass of warm water to start you in the day.
And then the ice cream.
The ice cream.
Cool the heart at the end.
Well, Ruben, you've been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. Those are your go-tos. Guys, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment. My sister said you need to push this bit harder. Leave us a comment. It costs you nothing and it helps other people find us. So please do one of those. And we will see you all next week. Ruben, you've been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
First podcast, best podcast.
Nice, man.
Love it.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, Ruben. Thank you.
Cheers,
thank
mate.
You.
Thanks.